You guys got room to hear more today? I don't know. It's like we've heard a lot already, you know? So, you know, if I get boring, you know, I haven't shared in a while. So maybe I'm rusty or I don't know. I'm not that I'm saying I'm rusty, but, you know, it stirs up, you know, I got to stir myself up again. And so it's all good. But I love what John shared. It was so cool. I thought you were going to be the preacher today. You know, because it was really good. That's God. That's a testimony, you know, what God's doing in our lives. And he's working in all of our lives. Amen. We're coming to the end of the summer. I hate to see it go. Yeah, I hate that cold snap. You know, I got to double my socks and everything like that. I just love it warm. I know Megan loves it warm, too. I mean, we're just sweater girls. But I had a very interesting summer. You know, I was away for a little bit of it. And I had quite a challenge on my hands with regards to my mom. And it was something that, you know, we sit back. We kind of, like, observe ministry a lot of times, right? I mean, you know, I think that's where I am in my life. But things come across your path. You know, we battles just, you know, if you're in God, if you're in your prayer closet, these things visit you. Battles come, things come, they rise up. Like, I haven't done anything except pray in my life, and I found my life is totally changed just because I'm a woman of prayer and I'm really needy. I need God because I know that there isn't much in here. You know, I just, I'm a mess, you know, just a little girl. And, but God makes you. He makes you when you pray, but the battles come. So, this summer I had quite a battle. Not all family members are as Christian as they say they are, okay? And when you got somebody in control who really kind of shouldn't be in control, and you watch it from the sidelines, whoops, we watch it, and I did, and it came to a point where my mom called me, and she says, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. And I said, Mom, I'll just be right up there. I'll help you. I'll do what we can. She goes, they're going to put me in a nursing home. This was my own family members. And I wasn't really called. You're not informed. And so I went right up there, and me and my son Joseph rescued my mom. And the next day they were sending a van to pick her up and bring her to the nursing home. We were there that morning. And we got the papers together, changed the power of attorney, because that's what she had to do. I said, Mom, I can help you if you change the power of attorney. Believe me, there was a lot of opposition coming at me for this not to happen, because you uncover things. You know, as a Christian, you just uncover stuff that shouldn't happen. And when you're in prayer, you become sensitive. And when you get close to a situation that's plain old ugly, as a Christian, you get close to a situation that's ugly, the enemy rises its head. Because I pray for my mother. We pray for those. But when you get closer to a situation, as a Christian, the enemy comes out of the closet, man. I had so many attacks on me. I was attacked in my mind, and I was attacked with accusations. I lived in Psalm 27 about how they'll bring you before the courts. I had to go to a court and defend myself from an accusation that was like, this is ridiculous. This is so stupid. And what happened, I mean, because I'm trying to get my mom, I'm trying to get the control back. The control from the enemy, because the enemy seeps in and takes control over things in your family and in your lives. And you as a Christian, as you're praying, okay, you discern stuff, But as you get closer, you're praying, you're pressing in for somebody. The enemy rears its ugly head. He just rears his ugly head. But I had to defend my mom. The principle in me became greater than me sitting back. And this is Christianity, that you become a demonstrator of the gospel. You become a demonstrator of putting yourself in front and on the line of situations and battles and things that are happening in your church or in your family or in this country. And I put myself on the line, because who could deny their mother? You know, if you can't stand up for your mother, who you're just useless as far as you know. So if you've got something in your family, don't be afraid. I mean, well, I was afraid. Really, I was attacked and I was accused. Oh my God, it was ugly. I'm just telling you, it was ugly. I spent my face on the floor of my son's little spare bedroom, just shaken with these attacks. And then it came to, like, you really find out what people are like too around you. You know, people can sit in church for years. And these are mature Christians around me in my family. Well, you think they're mature. But I had this court date, 9 o'clock Friday morning. And a family member said, gee, and, you know, that's exactly when my carpets are being cleaned, you know. And then we asked another one if she could deliver some documents to the former power of attorney, who was kind of in a rural area. And she said yes. But then 2 hours later, she called me and said, gee, we were talking about it, and we don't think our GPS will be able to navigate out there in that area. You know, I think it's kind of obscure, and we don't want to do that, you know. So I was kind of like, I can't believe this. I stood alone. Except for my son. I stood alone in this. And it just showed me that as I viewed and I had a very positive outcome. My mom, the power of attorney was changed and all that. But what I reflected upon was that when I needed help and when I wanted someone to stand with me, and this isn't my own family members, mature Christians, that there's stuff in them still. Yeah. And that self-preservation, that's what I would say. Oh, man, the self-preservation thing, that's still alive in a lot of people, because there's a cost to going along following Jesus. There's a cost that he requires of us. The cost is your life, your time, you know, your reputation, and accusations and these things come at you. But when the cost rears its head at you, man, do they scatter. Man, do they run and hide. It is pretty amazing to me to see that. And as I reflected, it brought out this message. I haven't even hardly started. But you can just say, shut it down, Mary Jane, if you don't want me to talk anymore. So, but I reflected on the stuff that's still in people. The stuff that's still in us. You can sit in your chair. You can sit in your seat. And when trouble comes, you know, how many run under the chair or out, you know, because there's just this stuff in us still. And God is working on us. And I heard from the songs, you know, fill me, Lord, overflow me, Lord. Okay, but, okay, in this water thing, I can fill maybe this much in. The Lord can pour that much in because there's this much stuff in it. Okay. So I'm always thinking perspective. You know, I always think the opposite. Like, okay, I want to be filled. We want to be filled. We want more of the anointing, right? We want more of it. But okay. maybe there's a cup here I could of the Lord I could put in. But if I got rid of some things, okay, man, I could have more. I could have more. So that's what I've been thinking about, is that cost. And we have stuff in it, us. It's, the Bible calls it dross. Dross. It's junk. It has nothing to do with God. It's that self stuff. It's junk, dross, dregs, sediment. It's in us. You know, and if you let it sit long enough, the sediment, the junk stuff. Okay. So there's stuff, there's dross in us. And when Jesus puts us through trials and battles, you know, it's an intense heating process that occurs. And that's that furnace of affliction. If you turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 48:11. Moab was a nation that was judged for being at ease from his youth. Moab has been at ease from his youth. He has settled on his dregs and has not emptied from vessel to vessel, nor has he gone into captivity. Therefore, his taste remained in him, and his scent has not changed. So that sediment, that stuff, it goes to the bottom as we sit, as we wait. We're waiting for something, right? I mean, we're waiting for the move of God. You have to keep our focus in what we're doing here. We're waiting for that new day. Just as sure as spring is coming. Again, God said he's coming again. And there's going to be an end time prophetic move of God that is coming. And fill us, Lord, fill us. Well, okay, in the process as you're waiting here, okay, maybe you need to get rid of a little bit of that stuff, the stuff that doesn't matter, that we're settled into. Remember, during the wait, God is, if there's a timing involved that we're preparing for this move of God. We're preparing for it, or we should be preparing for it. Okay, we should be preparing for it. Okay, so let's go to Exodus. I think it's Exodus 32. We got this time that God gives us. God gives us a time. God gives us this waiting period. I mean, would you say we're in a kind of a wait, an in-between time between what the church was or what the church is doing in us? That's, get that focus, what that God is doing in you right now. Okay? What he's doing is preparing you. But we get bored. We sit on our lees and a sediment falls. We get busy doing other things. We get busy. So we're full of stuff, but we also get busy.
Right, yeah. That's right. Cares of the world. Yeah. That's right.
We get busy. Yeah. You know, it's funny because Martinsville happens to be a town where I think God's trying to help us be unbusy. You know,
right.
I mean, he's put us in a town where there's not a lot to do. We had to drive a whole hour to see something new. We went to Floyd. Has anybody ever been to Floyd? Yeah, and you see them. Like, that just got me when I saw that. Have you been there, John? It's so cool. I just love seeing that. I've never seen that ever. What do they call it, clogging? I mean, so we had to drive an hour to see that. Okay, but that was an experience, but... you got to really try hard to work to find activity and stuff and new things. But God's diminishing us here. But yet our minds still remain very, very busy. We can be very, very busy in our minds. You may not have nothing to do, but your mind's always kind of going. And it keeps stirring. We keep stirring it up. When God just wants all that to settle down during that waiting time. He wants us to let all that stuff come down and get still and get silent and let those sediments get to the bottom. I'm getting to Exodus, but I didn't get there yet. Mike Bickle, I found a book. Frank has tons of them in our basement, so it's called the Rewards of Fasting, and so it had a lot of good stuff in it. And he notes that our souls are propped up by 1,000 things other than God. I just love that because that's like when I read stuff, it becomes sort of a witness to what maybe I'm going through myself. And it helps me find a topic, you know, or what God's, you know, trying to say in this hour. So, like, yeah, we're propped up by 1,000 other things. You know, now, does anybody have a smart TV yet? Or a Fire Stick? technology, come on, is calling our name. When I was up in Albany, my son, he showed me he's got this smart TV, and it was so cool because you can go on YouTube and really, like, the world opens up. So that's pretty cool. But there's how our technology is, if we're not checking ourselves, can really get in and take our time. You can stay up a lot later at night than you usually would or do, you know, because there's so much stuff to, you know, it can be used for good, though. Absolutely. 1,000 other things other than God. What I want to do is focus, is get you to focus on what God is really trying to do here with us during that wait. His cure for the stuff, his cure for our lives, his cure is making you just wait. Because if he wants to fill you to overflowing, he's waiting for you, this stuff, the sediment to come down. He's waiting for that so you get rid of it. Okay, I'm thinking I'm going to do this. I'm thinking I'm going to do that. Well, okay, he's just waiting for you to get quiet and silent, really. And say, oh, okay, I'm going to stop some of this stuff. I'm going to just seek God. I'm going to seek God. I want to seek him. Because he's preparing me. Remember, get your focus straight. He's preparing you. Each one of you has a call. Each one of you has a destiny in God. Each one of you. You know, when somebody's being uplifted, and, you know, I'm always thinking of the one in the corner. Like, oh, man. I'm always thinking of the one that's not. But even that one that doesn't get to say anything, he's got a destiny for you. He's got a destiny, something for you to accomplish in your life while you're here on earth for his kingdom. Not your kingdom, his kingdom. And there's a call inside of you to accomplish that. But if we get still and let that stuff just drain, get quiet. Okay, I'm going to seek you in this time, Lord. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to be still in this time. I haven't gotten off page one. He's preparing the church for his glory and his prophetic end time move. Amen. Keep your focus. Oh my gosh, I got to get on my knees, you know. Now the stuff and the busyness, okay, I'm just bringing it up because God wants to bring it up. Maybe he wants to bring it up, stir it up, shake it up. Because, oh man, maybe if more is gone, there'll be more room for that day when that anointing falls.
Amen.
When that anointing falls on this house. Man, I kind of wish I'm pretty. I want to get pretty empty. Because the stuff that God pours in is pretty cool and amazing. It's just, oh. There's nothing like it. It's like heaven, heaven, heaven fills you. Amen. A lot of people, they can get laid hands on. You can lay hands and nothing happens. Nothing happens. They haven't gotten rid of any stuff yet. You know, they got to make room for God in your heart. Make room. That's what we're here for. Make room for Him. So during the wait, there's two scenarios here. And so if you go to Exodus 32. There's we're getting there. Mike Bickle in that book says there's three categories of the pleasures of the soul. Three categories. And the first one is illegitimate pleasures. Okay, I don't think we really have a problem with that. Sinful desires, usually it's unbelievers, the drinking, the all the stuff that people do, the sinful stuff. And the children of Israel got involved in this as they waited on the bottom of Sinai. They got involved in the illegitimate, sinful, the revelry, the drunkenness. And that is one category of pleasure that as human beings we face or are tempted with. And if you go to Exodus 32, we'll get into a couple scriptures. Just tell me when you want me to. You tired of me? Exodus 32. I think I was there. So I want to be. I want to get some of that more stuff out. And like I said, that seeing what was in my own family members, mature members, that self-preservation thing. It made me say, man, there's a lot of stuff still in these people. Still in there. It's still in there. They didn't get rid of it. And she's the one serving the Lord, doing Bible studies, yet it makes me think that as mature as we seem or portray, maybe, as we portray something isn't necessarily what happens when you're called into battle or you're called. Remember, in Revelation it says, if you shrink back, I will not be pleased. If you shrink away from the call, if you shrink back into pleasure and stuff, if you shrink back the fearful, if you fear things, He will not be pleased. So I wonder, it makes me only want to get more of that stuff out of me. Exodus 32, verse 1. Moses delayed coming down from the mountain. Okay, we're waiting. We're in the wait too. We want the Lord to come down, fill our body, fill us to overflowing. We sing it in our prayers and our praise. He delayed. But the people gathered together Aaron and said, come, make us gods that we shall go, that shall go before us. And as for Moses, this man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Okay, where's God? Where is he really? Okay, verse 1 and then verse 7. And the Lord said to Moses, go, get down, for you people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. What did I say? Your people whom you... Yeah, your people. And they've turned aside. They've turned aside quickly. And that's what I saw. I saw, man, they turned aside quickly from me. Man, you couldn't even stand there next to me in the court. You couldn't even and do a run for me. They turned aside quickly. It's disenchanting. It's like, man, what are we really? When you have to ask yourself that. What are you really inside? Are your principles way up at the top? Will you step out for somebody? Will you pay the price, the cost of the cross, the stripping, the self-preservation, all these things that go into it, into the cross experience? For your people have corrupted themselves. And then in 25, Moses saw that the people were unrestrained. 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 And they were involved in, remember I talked about the three categories of pleasures, illegitimate pleasures. The second one is legitimate pleasures. The stuff we all do. This is what Mike Bickle brought up, and I thought it was really, really good. It was a good book, and I usually don't read recent books. I usually read the old stuff. Like, I'm a big Watchman Nee reader. I got all his stuff. And a lot of the new stuff, I don't know, it doesn't catch me to the depth I'm looking for. But this Mike Bickle touched on things that our church is in, the church in general, is involved in the legitimate pleasures. So we have the children of Israel involved in illegitimate, and the church as a whole is in, or us as a people are involved in legitimate pleasures. Okay? And what are legitimate pleasures? Well, they're permissible, and they can be anything that's not God. Anything. Your search for recreation, food, comfort, music, money, programs, other loves that we fill ourselves with, we fill our time with. You know, we eat three times a day, but do we pray three times a day like David? Probably not. You know, there's a prayer meeting once a week. You know, what you're doing in your home is that's up to you, but where's the balance? You know, if you had a scale, what would be happening? But that's your own, conviction. I'm not convicting you. I'm just putting something out before you. And Mike Bickle said that these are our greatest challenge today in the church, are the legitimate pleasures. Okay. They do not bring you into greater contact with God. You know, any program, anything will not bring you into greater contact with His presence. And what happens with whether it be illegitimate or legitimate pleasures? It doesn't really matter. What matters is they both take a position of dominance over the spirit realm. Amen. A position of dominance. And what we so want to do when we praise God in service. When you lift up your hands, we seek to bring the spiritual part of us into an ascendancy, a rising up of the spirit man inside each of you to be above the fleshly things, the carnal things. Above the pleasures, above those, that stuff. We want the spirit to ascend above it. Yes. Amen. And that's if we put a majority of our time in the physical, in the mental, in the carnal, in the self, in the stuff. We dwell at the bottom of Sinai, so to speak. We're dwelling in that place. When Moses went to the top of the mountain, there was no cell tower up there.
Yeah.
I mean, really. And you know when you're... Did you ever, you're in your prayer closet and you get texts or you hear the little beep, bleep, you know, and you say, well, excuse me, God, I got a text. You know, you're meeting with God Almighty and you got a text and you break from that, you know. You break from his presence. I'm sorry, Lord. Moses went up there with just his robe on and his walking stick. He even had to take off his shoes. You know, he really was, and I don't think he didn't have a picnic basket or nothing. I don't, no banquets up there, okay? It was fasting. So, I don't know, where am I? So those things don't bring you into greater contact with the presence of God. That's the stuff. Charles Finney, he spoke of the deception of innocent amusements, their lure, their captivating. Aren't they? I mean, that's for sure. And it's kind of like I thought, well, if you have a dog, you know, we like to think we are walking the dog, but sometimes the dog's walking us.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah. Where's the collar and the chain? You know, what's driving you? What's pulling you in this direction, in that direction? Is it those amusements and that stuff in our lives that's pulling us away? So it's like a checkup, you know, because if we get them in order, we'll have more room for what's coming. I want more room for what's coming.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
So it's like, how are you enhancing your actual fellowship? You know, that and the fellowship, it could be a closet. And it usually is a closet. Your fellowship. That's where you just lay it all out, pour it all out, and God hears your heart, and he prepares you for a next trial, and he you ask for his grace to get through this or that, or you pour out what's in your heart for your children, or you just pour it out. You pour it to him, and if you're not doing that, the sediment keeps building up, or, you know, we get involved. Face it. We just do. Just human nature. Human nature. Where am I? So we got the stuff, we got these legitimate things, and there's the illegitimate things. We get pulled into them and we get out of balance. I want to be in his presence. I want to be in that anointing. I got to leave this stuff out. We're waiting. Just keep your goal in mind is that we want our spirit man to rule the flesh. We want our spirit to decide everything about your day.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
I mean, it's kind of like, who's ruling and reigning in you? What is ruling and reigning in you? What do you got to have? That cell phone is really getting like, it's got everything in it, doesn't it? But you know what I've been using it for lately is, as you can click on YouTube praise for 2 hours. Have you found that? Hillsong praise or just quiet praise, any kind of instrumental praise. You just set it down, keep it plugged in, and you can just keep it on for hours. So you got to turn around what the devil meant to distract you with getting into God's presence. It's really nice. It's really nice. You can just soak it up, whatever, get into God's presence that way. You can stay much longer when you got that background and just got that peace coming in. It really helps. But the only way to gain that ascendancy, the rising up of the spirit man in you, is you really have to command silence to the compulsions of our natural man. You have to actually choose it and command it. I'm not going to listen to you. I can't tell you how many phone calls and texts going off this morning. But I wouldn't. They come in to distract you.
Right.
And, you know, some problem comes up. My God, they seem to always come up when you're really pressing in for something, or you're designed to press in, or you got to do something. All the stuff flies from the devil. So I got to shut it off. It's better to just turn it off. There's a little button that you press down, and you can't even hear the little bleeps. So that's a good thing, you know. You have to command a silence to those natural, legitimate pleasures. You command silence, you know. Use that authority. I close the door, slam the door.
Amen.
I want God,
amen.
You know. I mean, I was very shy, and God gave me that balance of boldness. So when I need it, it's there. So I don't mean to yell, but sometimes it's there. If you need it, you got to have it. That's all. Think of a hot air balloon weighted, you know, it's on the ground, and they cut off, they throw out the weights and cut the cords and ties. We got to do the same thing. And it rises up. It rises up into the heights. And we need to do that. Cut our cords, throw out the weights, get out of my house, you know, whatever you got to do. I just need this day. I'm seeking God. You know, I'm not going to go and eat with you today. I'm not. I had enough of that. I had a fill. I need to fill me with some, you know.
Amen.
I want to get controlled. I want to get my spirit in control. You know, it's a good thing. Restraint. Restraining ourselves for the filling. Amen. But there's a turmoil. I'd say it's not easy. There's always the push and pull. It's back and forth. You know, it's a struggle. There is that struggle. And when your soul wants to be propped up by these things, your soul wants to be propped up. It's like, yeah, I'll go out. You know, it feels good to me. You know, I want to do it. I want to eat. I want to go to the gym. By God. So we're really in a power struggle. And it's a constant type of thing, ascendancy. Who's going to ascend today? The spirit man or my flesh? You know, I can't say that we just sometimes, you know, get things that thrown at us and we just throw it out the window, man. I just going down the aisle and I'm just buying that chocolate bar, buying that ice cream box, you know, it just makes me feel good. But I want to get myself in control and restraining. I want to be restrained by His Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And it brings me to the third, the highest form of pleasure to the soul. The first pleasure was illegitimate pleasures, legitimate pleasures, the stuff that we do. And the third, the highest form of pleasure we can bring to our souls is godly pleasure, the holy pleasures. And if we can satisfy ourselves and be reminded, is that's why we're actually here. That's why we're actually assembled to be in a state of going after, and we're running after holy pleasure. We've left the table. We've left our children or whatever's home. We've left it to assemble because we desire holy pleasure from God. We really want that. And that's our focus. And we've got to keep ourselves in that focus. And the Sinai experience gives us an example of what is the absolute wrong way and what happens during the wait, or what can happen during the wait for God, for Moses to come down. That revelry, that sowing to the flesh, and whatever they were doing. And our role model of how what we're supposed to do in the wait is Jesus in his desert experience, in his wilderness experience, how he defeated the lust of the flesh, the lust for power, and the lust of the eyes. He defeated all three with the word of God. So what I'm saying is that in that power struggle for the things that are pulling at you, we want to defeat. We do not want to be like the children of Israel and fall prey to our flesh and our carnal natures. We don't want to fall into that. We want our role model, Jesus, to be our guide and to use the word of God to defeat these things that are pulling us away from getting the stuff out of us so that we don't have enough room for the anointing when it's going to come down.
Right.
So were you going to use the word of God? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You shall not test the Lord thy God, and you shall serve no other master but the Lord thy God. You shall have no other vain thing before you. There's the three categories of pleasures. Pleasures fall into those things. The lusting, the flesh, the appetites, whether they be the physical or the appetite, our natural appetites. The lusting for things.
That's right.
The things that we got to have. The things that we have to pile up in our around us. I love antique stores. You know, I got to have that thing. Or trips, you know,
okay.
I got to do, you know, the lust of just doing stuff, you know, check yourself. That's all. So we're going to use the word of God like Jesus did. At least that's our role model. You get in the word to defeat the things and to speak to the things that are trying to pull you down, away, discourage you. You know, this morning I wanted to have that ascendancy in my spirit because I could feel, you know, a burden. And I was trying a couple things, but I hit it. And I said, I trust you, Lord. I said, I don't trust myself. I said, I trust you, Lord. And immediately, bam. Bam. That thing just broke. And I could feel I was free. And I was like, you know, I could feel the freedom. And a lot of us have that. They're just, please, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord. He really, that's a very good turning point and a key for us in our walk with God. When we don't know, when we can't see, and we can't hear anything, is just to say, I trust you, Lord.
Amen.
It's really good. It's just, yeah. Try it.
Yeah.
Jesus, he was able to defeat the calling. The lure of the enemy. The lure of stuff, the lure of a quick glory, no cross. He knew, I'll tell you what he did know. He knew his high calling. He knew the calling. And it becomes sort of a, if you know you have a calling, you have something that God wants you to accomplish on this earth, and I'm telling you, you do. It will help you understand why you have to defeat the enemy of your flesh and the stuff. Remember, as Jesus remembered, he had a calling. You have a calling. So why would I give in and take a shortcut? There's a way that God has designed for you to come into the anointing, the power, and the overflow. There's a pattern and a way. And for all of us, it's the same. It's that dying process, that settling. There's a pattern and a way that Jesus took. And he says, come, follow me into the desert. Come, follow me. You know, you have a pattern just like Jesus. And you have to keep that in your mind, in your spirit, because the enemy would want to, he would want to inflate the pleasure more. The quick, easy access faster. But if by staying in the proper, in the wilderness, in the place, in that very, you know, time element that God has for you, preparing yourself, keep in mind your call and your destiny. He will find you.
Amen.
He will anoint you. You don't have to do one thing.
Amen.
No, you don't have to promote yourself. Nothing. God will find you. He will find you. Don't get all bent out of shape. Because that's the enemy will want to do that. The enemy will certainly want to do that. Bend you out of shape. There's a time. And, you know, Moses was in the wilderness for, 80 years before he even started it. You know, 80 years. That's a long, pretty long time. So... he knew his high calling. Know your high calling. John was talking about the seed. Sow a seed. Sow your seed. And I had part of that in my message is that as in nature, there's the seed has a calling. The seed has a calling, whether it's to be a weed, whether it's to be a flower or a sequoia tree, there's a calling in that seed. And we are like seeds. There's a calling in you, in you.
Right.
It's in there, but it's encased.
That's right.
It's encased in a shell. And think of it like the seed has to be buried. And it's and there's this crucible,
right,
this waiting, this smelting, this time period, where the seed is buried in the earth. It's dark. It doesn't hear anything. It doesn't know anything. And it's going to die. Or at least, if you open to John 12:24. The hour has come. Well, verse 23. That the Son of Man should be glorified. The Son of Man wants to come, and the Son of Man wants to be glorified.
John.
Yep. John 12.
Yeah.
He's coming. He's coming. But he wants to be glorified.
Amen.
He wants to be glorified. I want to stand in that glory. I want to be part of that thing.
Amen. Amen.
But he says, unless the grain of wheat, the seed, falls into the ground. Okay, comes into that time of waiting and that time of darkness. Unless it comes into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it does die, it produces much grain, much, much grain. Remember, in that seed's also the carnal, the flesh, the soul. It's existing in there also with the spirit. And as you allow during the time and this alone time, and as you allow it to die, it breaks forth. I'm just going to give a quick example of Elijah's widow. And just a quick example of what happened with her. During her time of waiting, the time of the famine, the time when it was a crucible time, a really intense time for her, and she thought she was going to die. But she heard the word of God. The word of the prophet says, give to me. Give to me your last. And just like the seed breaks open that time of death, it extends like a little shoot up. She extended her arm with the meal and the oil to the prophet. And her seed broke. And the call of her flesh to be a captive to her own greed, it's my last meal, the call of her flesh was put below her feet. And she let the Spirit of God, by acting on the Word of God, she let the Spirit of Christ ascend by her giving and acting on the Word of God. And it became a key to her breaking her seed shell and coming out of self and into partnering with life and her destiny for which she was created. And I think she was the widow that her son was actually became Jonah.
That's right.
So she could have died and never had Jonah, who preached the gospel. But she gave the lust of her flesh. She tossed it away like a filthy rag. The lust of having that last meal of food, of feeding herself. She thrust it away, just like we do. Thrust away the things of this world. Let the seed crack open in your lives as she did. The shoot pushes forward and unto the light. A new day dawned for her. She was never without oil or meal. Choose to expand your heart. Not, you know, I always wonder why. How do I know the difference if I've had that breaking of my spirit? How do I know? How do I know if I'm still living in myself or in of things? How do I know the difference? Well, I can tell you over the past 5 years, I've had a lot of things that I said, man, I wish I didn't do that. I wish I didn't do that. Oh, I wish I could go back and fix that. And I realized that I was actually doing a lot of things out of my own mind and my own, like, thoughts. And God was actually taking me into a really quiet place. Just do nothing. Just let me work on you. But he wants to shut it all out. Shut it all down from me. And stop all the mistakes that I made. Why, you know, and when I finally, I maybe it was a few months ago, I said, I don't know anything. And I said, I just trust you. I can't trust myself. I made so many messes and mistakes. I'm just going to trust you, Lord. You call my name one day, maybe, for something. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's just like you reflect, you know, and let some more things die. And, you know, God's going to find you. But he wants to find you when you're not busy. He wants to find you when you're in his house. And a little more emptier. Amen. So thank you, Lord.